Amen. Welcome to the house of God. Glad to see you this morning. To know that God is still God. He's still on the throne. He always will be and always shall be because he is God all by himself. There's no other God that can take his place. He is the savior of the universe, the creator of all mankind. And we honor him in every area of our life because he is real. He's alive. And he's living within us. In the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise. As you bless the Sunday school today, have your way, strengthen and encourage, lead and guide, open up our understanding, give us the knowledge and wisdom we need to live and walk aright before you, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Lord God, we thank you because you have never changed, but you and you will never change, but you can change lives, circumstances, individuals. God, we commit our life into your hand that you may lead and guide us every step of the way. Surrender to you. Bless the Sunday school, God. Bless the morning service, the praise team, the worship, everything that going forth today, God. We pray that you get glory out of it, that you be lifted up, touch the lives of those that is going to come in that need help, strength, and encourage, need salvation. God, let the word be spoken that will cause them to repent of their sins and give their life into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning, being a part of Sunday school. We're going to pick up where we left off at. Talking about the faith that was delivered unto the saints is what we've been talking about, faith. We know that the life we live, we can only live it through faith. We can only live it by faith. And without faith, the Bible said it is impossible to please God. So we need faith to please God. And the faith has been delivered to us through salvation. Through an opportunity to have a relationship with God and to learn of him and for him to lead us and guide us. And as we follow after him, then we can do what God wants us to do. We can operate in the areas of our life where God has called us and placed us and use us as that instrument to reach other individuals. So saints of God, it really behooves us to live by faith. Because if we live by sight, we might as well just throw in the towel, be like everybody else, say, I don't know if I can make it. I don't think I can. Oh, I got this. I got that. And never depending and counting on God to bring you out. And see, that's what got the children of Israel in trouble sometimes. They believed God and then they went back doing believing the things of the world, believed God back and forth. You see, in the life that we live, I would not encourage anyone to be a revolving door. Constantly going around. You don't know whether you want to hold on or be saved. You don't know whether you want to go back out into the world. It's not, you know, you have to have faith to walk with God. You know what I kind of had I took my grandson out 2 days ago. I live in a neighborhood. Main road is 204. Some of y'all may know that in Montevello. Got a big old ranch on the left. If you're traveling down 204 going west, it's on the left-hand side. What I'm saying is that there is two-lane highway. You got your yellow lines in the center, your white lines on each side of the road. So I'm walking on this side so I can see the traffic. There's not a whole lot of traffic coming behind me. What I'm saying is that, see, God has a way of wanting to get your attention and wanting to minister to people. But they have a way of saying, well, let me do this. What I'm saying is this. So we walking, right? I say, look, AJ, stay on this side of the white line. He understood what I was saying. Stay on this side of the white line. He'll get over here. Now come on back over here because grass and all the other stuff out there, so you don't want him stepping in. So I looked at him. You see what people do when God give you directions and tell you not to do something, tell you don't go there. What I found this young man doing, he would get close to the white line as possible. That's what he was doing. I'm looking at him like, he's 2 years old. He understands not to go past the white line, but he wants to say, I want to see how close can I get without Papa saying something or hitting him, tapping on him. And I'm like, no, come on. You need to stay on this side of the white line. He'll walk. And next thing you know, he's like this, right on the white line. So what I'm saying is, saints of God, is people do that with God. God, in other words, I'm trying to keep him from stepping in something or getting into something that could hurt him or he could fall into. God wants to protect us to the point that when he say, no, don't go there, don't get that close, leave that alone. People in their mentality is, God, I just want to see how close I can get without falling in. I want to see how close I can get without getting involved in it. And next thing you know, they walk that line so close, so long. Next thing you know, they're on the other side of the line. And that's how it is when you walk by faith. When you walk by faith, you don't put God to the test. You listen to the voice of God. And you do what God wants you to do. And you walk the way he wants you to walk. And you live the way he has created you to live. And that is to give him glory through the life that you live. How can he draw all men unto him without us? He can, but he uses us to reach people. He uses us to minister to those that are in need. So we need faith to know that God can keep us if we want to be kept. That's the point right there. Do you want to be kept? Do you have a desire to want to be saved? You see, I learned that early in life that you can't walk close to the line knowing that eventually you possibly might step over that line. And when you step over that line, it's hard to get back to that line. I've seen people that I've came along with walk with God for years, step out of the will of God, and they still haven't made it back. They know of God. They know God. They experience God. They walk with God. God has done things in their lives, but yet and still they have not transitioned back into the will of God. They're on the outside looking in. That's why the faith that we have, we must live by faith. Abraham didn't have what we have, which was the Holy Ghost that we was filled with, received it with the baptism, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But the Bible says his faith was counted as unto righteousness unto him. But he believed God. He trusted God. There was time he doubted. There was time he went through. Everybody have those areas in their life. God, I hope this happens. I believe it. Something transpires. Something go down. Something don't come the way it should. You're like, wow. I hope what I believed in. Well, we got to realize, even though we can ask, that don't mean God is going to give it to us. We can pray for healing. That don't mean God is going to allow it to happen. It's his will, his way. We just pray because we know that he's capable of doing those things. We believe and ask him because we know he can do those things. But it takes faith to live and walk with God. It takes faith to serve a God, to allow God to minister to you, to speak a word into your spirit, into your heart, to the point where you will follow after him. You see, we talked about how that even last week, it says, even though God showed his miracle, his work, men invariably began to doubt God. Even all that the children of Israel seen and experienced from the time they left Egypt through the Red Sea on the other side of Jordan, up into Jordan, there was those that had doubt. There was those that did not fully believe. Imagine yourselves. It's the story that Moses, we're looking at the life of Moses and how God used him to bring them out. You see a Red Sea in front of you. You have no way of getting there. They say 6 million people or so. No way of getting across that Red Sea. You don't have no ships. You have no boat. All you have is what you brought when you left. You see, when you trust God and believe God, God will do things that you don't even think he's capable of doing. God will open doors that you don't even think God will open up for you or touch people that you don't think God will move on their life. You just got to believe. When we pray, we must believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is capable and that God can and that God will according to his will. And when they came to the Red Sea, before them, Pharaoh's army behind them, and they charging fast because he realized I shouldn't have let them go. You see, God has a way of getting all of our attention. Even though the word says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, Bible says that God hardened his heart also because he wanted to prove to him that I am God. And the miracles you see and being performed before you is because I'm using a man that I've called to do it. In the beginning, when Moses threw his rod down, it turned into a serpent. Magicians did that. God allowed that to happen. But if you read your word and understand it, some of those plagues they could not fulfill. That's it. He allowed them to go so far. Because see, what God was showing the people of Israel and the Egyptians is that I am God. You may not know me, but I'm going to show you who I am. And when it's all over with, you will know who I am. You may not serve me, but you're going to know who I am. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. God hardened his heart too. The Bible says that the last plague, Pharaoh said, hey, I'm going to let him go. The firstborn was slain because they were not up under the blood. You see, my desire is not to get caught in a position in an area in my life where I have known God and know God, walk with God, and try to walk close to the line as I possibly can. My will and my purpose of my life to serve God by faith is to walk forth from that line. Because see, what we have to realize, the devil is on his job 24/7. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to keep you from making it to heaven. But you have to have that word of God inside of you to encourage you, to lift you up, to let you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have power and authority in the name of Jesus to say no to the temptations of this life, to say no to anything that is going to attack my faith or my belief or my life itself. I can stand on the word of God and say, God, for you I live and for you I'll die. You know, the thing about it, saints of God, we say that, but here's the thing about it. None of us has been faced with that opposition to say, if you don't deny Christ, say that you don't love him, he's a false God, we're going to kill you. None of us been faced with that. I pray that I never do. Because it's easy if you're not strong in God and don't have the trust and belief that you've been testifying about, singing about, walking about, when you're faced with that situation, that you're going to cave in. Throw in the towel. Oh, well, I can repent. I can ask God to forgive me. But what you're saying is that you really didn't believe him. I pray that we never have to go through those type of things. That's why the faith that we have, we can take that faith and demonstrate it to those that are in the body, outside of the body, so that they know that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The God we serve will never change. And for them to doubt God, that's why a lot of them didn't make it out of the wilderness. A lot of them didn't make it out because of their unbelief. And today in the body of Christ, a lot of people are not going to make it to heaven because of their unbelief. You can walk with God and confess God, but if he's not on the inside, it's not doing you any good. If you're not allowing his spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, it's not doing you any good. Moses was their leader. Moses spoke to them. He spoke to God face to face. Then he came down and spoke to the children of Israel. Yet and still, when God bring you out of a situation, saints of God, and allow you to walk by faith and to know that you came out and you experienced and you went through because of your faith that you had in God and his word, God is not going to allow you to fall by the wayside. What happened is that when Moses on the mountain doing those 40 days talking to God and getting the instruction and guidance for the children of Israel, here Aaron down here with the Israelites creating creating a bull, saying that this is the God that brought us out. If that was the God that brought them out, where was he at before they left Egypt? Where was he at? How come he didn't show himself? How come he didn't fight for them? This is a God that they made with hands out of gold. They cast it. They molded it. They shaped it. And then you're going to say, this is the God? That's what Satan wants to do to the people of God. He wants to get your focus off of God to in a place where when you look at things of life that you've gone through and experienced, it's to the point that, oh, this is my God. It's sad when individuals say, I love you more than God. Oh, I don't want to be without you, without God. In other words, I don't know if you ever heard it or ever someone ever said it to you, that I want you more than I want God. I've heard it. How can you want an individual more than you want God? That person can't save you. That person can't give you salvation. That person can't set you free from the bondage of sin that you're in. The person can't deliver you from an unsettled mind, but God can. That's why it behooves us for as the children of God to walk by faith so that we can help our brothers and sisters that are going through struggles and tests and trials, that need prayer, that need encouragement, that need a word spoken into their spirit, that need someone to direct them. Numbers 14:11 is what we're going to be reading starting from here. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? How can you provoke me? How can you not trust me? How can you not believe me? How can you not trust me? How can you not walk according to my commandments after you've seen what I've done and where I brought you from? 40 years you walked in the land, 40 years you traveled in the wilderness. You didn't have to have no new shoes. You didn't have to have no new clothes. That shows you that God was a faithful God to his people, even though they wasn't faithful to him. You see, one thing we got to realize in life, God is faithful to us, saints. Even though we may not be faithful to him, he's faithful. He got to live. He operates according to his word. His word is who he is. His word has never fallen to the ground. It has never ceased to do what it has been sent out to do. But we fall short because we don't trust God. We don't believe God anymore. We have a sliver of faith and look at it. Well, anybody can do that. Anybody can become this. Why not everybody saved then? Why is it the ones that's out there preaching the doctrine of just belief and you saved and you delivered? How come the whole world ain't saved? That doesn't save you. What saves you is the life that you live before him, for him. That's what saves you. When you feel with the Spirit and you allow the Spirit to lead you and guide you, then you're walking in unison with God. You ever seen an army walk out of unison? That means that they're not on the same page. That means that when they're marching and they're hitting the pavement, you hear one footstep. Because somebody's calling the cadence. Someone is keeping them in tune. Someone is keeping them in line. And that's how it is with the word of God and God's spirit leading and guiding us. He's keeping us in tune so that we can walk and pace with him in his word and hold on to his belief that we trust in him, that he will strengthen us and keep us. None of us today, saints of God, would be here if it had not been for God. By the grace of God, we're all in our right mind. By the grace of God, we have our help. By the grace of God, as the older we get, we know the body is going to start deteriorating, but yet and still, God is faithful. God is good. He has kept us. He will continue to keep us. So as I look at Numbers 14 and 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will they make me angry? How long will they make me upset? How long will they cause me to look at them from a different view of life? How long? I have done everything I could to show them who I am. I performed miracles. They seen you glow in front of them. They heard me talk from the mountaintop. They seen me bring them through the land, through the Red Sea. How is it that you're provoking me? You don't want to believe me. You don't want to trust me. But yet and still, you want to cry out unto me when you're in need. When we have our hand out, we're going to cry out to God. We want God to fill our hand with whatever we lay before him. But what about before we extend our hand? Why not extend our hand up and say, God, I give you praise. God, I give you glory. God, I honor you. God, I love you. God, I worship you. You see, our little children, look at AJ. We take care of him without him asking. We provide for him. We buy for him. We feed him. We clothe him. We bathe him. We direct him. We talk to him. We instruct him. We're teaching him how to follow guidelines and instructions and what you can and can't do. And that's the same way God do with us. But as an adult, we can make a decision whether we will follow God or not. This little guy, he depends on his parents to provide for them. When he get hungry, who's going to feed him if nobody's around? Who's going to dress him? Who's going to change his pamper, his pull-ups, whatever? Who's going to take care of him? We are adults, saints of God. It's time for the people of God to get out of those pampers. It's time for people to get out of them pull-up. It's time for people to dress like you're supposed to dress. Put on the whole armor of God and believe what the word of God says and live by it. Don't let nobody cast doubt on what you believe, what you have heard, and how you have witnessed God move in the midst of you. Don't let nobody cast doubt on the life that you're living. Try to make you feel bad because you trust God and you believe in God. Want you to feel discouraged because the life they're living is contrary to the will of God. We are walking epistles read and known of all men. That's what Paul said. We don't have to ever open our mouth. Once they hear us and they see the life we live, they know something is different about us. They know that we have walked with God. They know that we've prayed with God. They know we have spent time in God's face saying, God, lead me, guide me, direct me, help me, strengthen me, and lift me up so that I can glorify your name. He said, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto you. And he was lifted up on the cross, but he wants us to lift up men. He wants us to lift him up in the forefront of men. Hey, brother, let me tell you about this God that I serve. Hey, sister, let me tell you how good God's been. Let me tell you what God has brought me from. Let me tell you how God delivered. Let me tell you how God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you where I should have been dead and gone, but God stayed the hand of death. Here I am to testify that when I look back over my life, and I see where God has brought me from. I can't do nothing but give him praise because I should have been dead. I should have been sleeping in my grave. But God said, no, no, no. That's where we are today. We got to lift him up so that he can draw all men unto him. Everybody may not be saved, but they can't say they did not hear it, they wasn't aware of it, or they didn't know. It's on the TV, it's on the radio, it's out in the streets. You got so many people preaching and teaching the word of God. They may not be preaching and teaching the truth, but they hear something about a great God, about living and walking and trusting him in faith. If we go to Numbers, chapter 11, look at verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Now the people complained about their hardship in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Yes, sir. That's right. Those are the ones walking a white line. You're right about that. Let me see how close I can get and still get what I need from God. Let me see how close I can get, close to sin, and still need God. I don't know if y'all seen this. I do. I watch. Since we have so many types of ministries out there, that is really not the truth. But these are prominent preachers, got thousands of people in their sanctuary sitting there. I listened to one young man that said, when he was called, I don't know if he was appointed. He didn't say he was appointed or called. He said that when he became pastor, he never pastored. So that lets me know he didn't know how to pastor. It lets me know that he really wasn't groomed for the position, but he was placed there probably because he didn't have no guidance. His statement was, they said, Pastor, what are we going to do for Easter? He said, well, I've never preached an Easter service, so we're going to bypass this year. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get as close to sin without sin. How can you open your mouth and say, instead of asking God to give you a message, instead of asking God to reveal to you how to minister to these people that is coming to this house to receive something from you, but you want to put on a program that's going to be short of sin. Walking the white line. That's what they're doing. That's what it's about, walking the white line. They angered God because they did not believe in him. God was angry. He was upset. He said, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Do you know we anger God sometimes? Think about that. We anger God sometimes. How do we anger God? Disobedient? Our unbelief? The way we think, the way we act, we're not representing him, we're not glorifying him, we're not giving him praise for what he's done. All we're thinking about is self. What can I get? What can I have? How can I get it? How can I move forward? How can I go upward? When you don't trust and believe the Lord, you anger him. You anger him with God. That's what the children of Israel was doing, angering God. After all he has done for you, you have the audacity to defy the Lord by not believing in him. What's the old saying? That it's a poor frog that don't praise his own pond. That if you don't give God praise for what he's done for you and where he brought you from, then you're letting God know that you don't appreciate what he's done. You're not trusting and believing in what God has brought you from, where he wants to take you, that you can walk by faith and not by sight. Saints of God, we all have been tested and tried. Some of us, we have thought about what it would be like. I'll use me. I've thought about what it would be like if I go back out into the world. I thought about what it would be like if I just turn my back on God and just do what I want to do. I know that it's contrary to his word. I know that it's against his word. I would anger God. I would hurt God. Because God loved me so much that he invested in me. His spirit. His love. And then I just throw it back in his face. When people have walked with God and served God and turned their back on God, they're telling God and the people out in the world there was nothing to him. I was there just to be there. I was there when nothing was happening. If nothing wasn't happening, them years that you served and walked with God, then why all of a sudden you just want to throw in the towel? The devil is shrewd and cunning. He will do everything he can to get you to release the hand of God, to let go, and to turn your back. And then so the devil's showing, he's telling you, oh, you don't trust God. You don't believe God. God ain't going to do this. God ain't going to move this. God ain't going to make that way. God ain't going to provide. God ain't going to heal. God ain't going to save. God ain't going to deliver. He's constantly talking to you. He's constantly in your ear. See, the thing about it is this. The spirit that we have, he's not appealing to the spirit. Because the spirit that was in Christ when he was on the mountain on those 40, when he was in the wilderness 40 days and Satan tempted him, it wasn't the spirit he was tempting, it was the flesh he was appealing to. And that's what's happening today with the people of God. Satan is appealing to the flesh of men and women, not the spirit that is in them, because you know that if the spirit that is in you and you operate and follow the spirit, he can't do anything with you. He can't do nothing to you. The only thing he can stand back and say, if you remove the hedge, like he did Job. But see, he appeals to your flesh because he know that what we was in before we came to God, the flesh enjoyed it. But now that we're in God, the spirit glorifies God and thank God for where he has brought us from and delivered us out of. So it behooves us to walk by faith and to know that Satan want us to surrender to our flesh. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. No. I don't mind. It's good.
The Bible talks about we are given a measure of faith. I don't know what the measure is, but it's some amount, whatever. But the Bible also teaches that we are to exercise our faith. So when you exercise. And if you're serious about it, your muscles are going to grow. Tavares in here this morning. All right. Tavares is a muscle man. But I remember when he wasn't a muscle man. But he's a muscle man now. But he worked at it. He exercised his muscle. And the reason that the enemy can tempt you is when you don't exercise your faith, you're weak. And it's your fault. It's my fault. But we are all given some faith, amount of faith. But it's up to us to develop the faith.
Thank you for that, Hillstead, Brother Hillstead. That is true. We have to exercise our faith. And that's what's not happening. People are not exercising their faith. They're exercising everything but the faith of God. Well, I got to lose 20 pounds. I got to get this body in shape like he was saying. Look at the bodybuilders. If you go back and look at pictures of them when they're 17 and 18 in their 20s, they look just like me and you. Out of shape. But when they begin to focus, that's the problem. We need to focus on our faith to know that God is there regardless of what we go through or face. Like he was saying, you got to work on your faith. You got to work on it. You have to work on it. Just like these bodybuilders work on their bodies. Think about it. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, God, how is it possible for somebody to chisel their body the way these men have? The different exercises, the different diets that they have to do, the things they got to cut back on. See, saints, what I'm saying to you today is that they're willing to give up things, food, and different drinks that affects the body that will keep them from getting to their goal. Why can't we give up the things that will keep us from getting to God? Why can't we drink the protein of faith? Why can't we drink the protein of trust? And that's what's happening. Men and women are just not trusting God, and that's why their faith don't measure up to anything. See, we could talk about it, but it's a different thing to live it, like you said, Brother Hillstead. That's it. That's exercising it right there. That's right. That's right. That's it. That's all he wants us to do is believe him and trust him. Exercise your faith. You know? What they tell us now, the older we get, exercise, walk. You can't run, walk. You can't walk, do chair exercise. Do something to keep that body moving forward. Do something to keep your mind moving forward. And that's how it is with the word of God. You got to exercise your faith. You got to walk by, as I said, walk by faith, not by sight. You see, I've tried, you know, growing up, and when you're talking about the body, I was a wrestler in high school. As a young man, boy, you want to do everything you can to be the best. You're going to do everything you can to get in shape. I was a little few pounds overweight. You see, they, people tell you to do some things you never even thought about. Well, put a plastic bag on, get over the register when it's hot, and just jump around. That'll help get some weight off of you. You know, I was foolish enough to do that. And I did lose weight. When my mother found out, she's like, boy, what you doing? She scolded me because she's a nurse and she know how effective it could be to my body. Losing weight and want to go out there and wrestle, but not in my full strength. What I'm saying, saints of God, is this. Be careful what you allow the devil to interject in your mind. Be careful what you allow the devil to put before you. You have to exercise your faith to know that God will meet your need, to know that God will supply your need according to his riches in glory. That's why the children of Israel angered God. They walked with God. They believed God. Then they begin to doubt God. They begin to not trust God. They begin to not hold on to what they realized and what they lived. See, you don't trust God or believe the Lord. You are displaying unbelief. You are displaying unbelief. The word contempt says the lack of respect or reverence for something. They did not give God the respect. They did not reverence God for who he was and what he has done. They angered him. They aroused him. They provoked him. You know how it feels when somebody provoke you, don't you? They give you, put you in a different mindset. You trying not to go there, but they pushing you there. You trying not to go there, but they still edging you on. You don't warn them, hey, now step back, leave it alone. I'm good. Stay away. But you have those bullies that's going to still want to bully you. And that's what the devil wants to do to the people of God. He wants to bully the saints of God. And if you allow him to bully you, then you're falling right into his trap. You begin to take your eyes off of God and not trust God and believe God for what he's doing in your life. You could be at the point of death and need, know that God can heal you and God can raise you up. You call on somebody else or you go another way and try and get your healing, try and get your deliverance instead of calling on God. Instead of calling on the Lord. Don't let your lack of respect or your reverence for God put you in a position that is going to anger him. It's our place as children of the Lord is to please him in every area of our life. Understand what I'm saying? Every area, saints of God. Every area. Well, not in this area. That don't mean nothing. Oh, well, no, not in this area. They ain't got nothing to do with it. No. We ought to ask God to help us please him in every area of our life, whether it's in our marriage, our relationship with our brothers and sisters, our relationship with those that are outside of the world, our job, our finances, our knowledge and understanding of him. Help us in every area to understand who he is so that we may be able to speak a word into somebody's life We are people that can speak words into individuals' lives. All we have to do is open up our mouth and begin to lift him up. God can move in that individual and cause them to have a change of mind and say, you know what? I've never heard it like that. I've never seen it like that. But what church you go to? Where do you belong? I like to come visit. That's being a witness. That's being somebody that is giving God glory and praise, and you're not arousing him. You're not making him angry. You're not making him upset. You giving him pleasure and glory because he's looking at you and saying, look at my son, look at my daughter. They're telling somebody about me. We have to, as individuals, to live and walk with God. Saul was out of his place. You remember when Saul tried to take the place of Samuel? Y'all remember that story? He was out of his place. Do what you have been called to do. Stay in your lane. Even though Saul was a king, Samuel running behind, but he's going to step in his position to try and offer the sacrifices of God. When I'm saying, saints of God, don't put yourself in a place that's going to cast you out of the will of God. Don't put yourself in a place or step in somebody's position that's going to cause you to lose your salvation. That's going to cause you to lose your relationship with God. Stay in your lane. When these track runners are running in these Olympic races, everybody have a lane to run in. Soon as somebody run in the other individual lane, they're disqualified. So if you don't stay in your lane and you're in somebody else's lane trying to do what they've been called to do, you are disqualified. Stay in your lane. Now, when God places you and put you in a place that when you are in your lane, y'all get to that finish line, then you can move over to where you need to be and where God wants to take you, then you won't be disqualified. You have an opportunity to make it to heaven. You have an opportunity to win that gold medal, or you have an opportunity to win that first place ribbon, but you have to stay in your lane. Don't anger God by getting out of your lane trying to do something you haven't been called to do. That's why God took the kingdom from Saul, because he's trying to do the priest job. He's trying to do what he wasn't called to do and wasn't anointed to do. He was only placed there because God allowed him to be their king. Don't do what someone else has been called to do. If you haven't been called to minister, to serve in certain area capacities, don't try and make that person look bad to get that position. Don't try and put that person down with words from your mouth to elevate yourself, because you're out of your lane. You're doing things that is contrary to the will of God, and you're angering God. Both of you will not go to the promised land. In other words, that's Numbers 20 and 12. Let me hit that real quick, and then we'll be closing it. 20 and 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. How did Moses and Aaron dishonor God? When God told him to speak to the rock, he spoke to the rock. He hit it. He smote the rock, displeased God, dishonored God. God had already gave them the water out of the rock by just speaking to it. And he told him to speak to it. Moses upset and angry with the people because they're murmuring and complaining. So you can't allow yourself to get to that position where you allow what people say affect your relationship with God. Moses would have taken them to the promised land, but because of his disobedience, did what he wanted to do. He smote the rock. God still honored the water came forth, but he didn't know what they lost? The promised land. And you know what we can lose? Eternity with God. Yes, sir. Isn't that what Samuel told Saul? Well, you wasn't here. The people begged me and talked me into doing it and said, go ahead. There was a self-preference will. That's what's happening today. So many people out of the place, and trying to replace people where God has placed them. You can't do it. And Aaron and Moses was not able to go into the promised land. Aaron died before Moses. God took him up, Moses up to the mountain, say, look over into the promised land. Look at all that you see. Look at the north, the east, the south, and the west. You see all this. This is what the people of it, the children of Israel, is going to receive, but you're not going to be going with them. Don't lose your life being out of your place. Don't lose your life disobeying God. Don't lose your life not doing the will of God and provoking him to anger. Because if you do, you're going to lose. God would always be the winner. You will always be the winner. Thank you for being a part of Sunday School. Go ahead.
So everybody can hear you.
I said, the formula that you're speaking of, it's in Hebrews 11:6 says it, without faith it is impossible to please him. But it also goes into the next phase, for he that cometh to God must, one, first believe that he is, and that he has the preeminence over everything of your life. And he says at the end of that, he says, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the power in faith isn't just saying, I believe in God, but you have to know the power, the glory, the holiness, all the attributes of God. And then once you recognize who he is, it's like wait 2 minutes from your job and you can't find your key. You know, you're going to search everything in that house and turn it upside down. And that's how we have to seek after God with our faith so that he is able to do the things in our life that he wants.
You're right about that. And as you were saying, look at Moses, 40 days on the mountain, all that anointing, all that glory. He still disobeyed God. You see what I'm saying, saints? We are human. We are flesh. But we make that decision whether we will or we won't disobey God. That's it. That's it. You right there. Don't sin in your anger. Thank you.